Now, U105 can reveal this morning that an interdepartmental working group on historic mother and baby homes and historical clerical child abuse has made little to no progress for almost a year. In March 2018, the group's independent chair, Nora Gibbons, resigned due to ill health. This meant that no one was there to head up the team and examine if there were indeed systematic failings by the institutions or the state. Now, following a Freedom of Information request, the Department of Health has revealed that although it has made preparations for appointing a new chair, it has not done so, saying that would require, you've guessed it, ministerial approval. So while there's no executive, there'd be no progress. Let me speak to a man who's very much involved with this project, Eunan Duffy, who's a campaigner, and he was born at the Marion Vale Mother and Baby Home in Newry. Eunan, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
We could paint a picture of no progress. However, some progress is being made. The universities are doing some studies on this. In the chair's absence, there has been work, but not the work that you would expect to see. But the universities, Queen's and Ulster University, they've been researching into the mother and baby homes and the Magdalene laundries.
That's correct, Frank, but listen, that's of no surprise to victims and survivors, to be honest, because from this whole process was initiated and instigated as far back as going back into the actual executive government itself. As far back as 2013, Amnesty International, for example, gave a briefing report about the Magdalene laundries. We all know that the mother and baby homes and laundries and clerical abuse were all deliberately omitted from the HIA. So, as a consequence of that, there were scoping exercises allegedly carried out by the government as far back as 2013, which were superseded by scoping exercises and options papers into the mother and baby homes in 2014. Now, we want to know and have tried to find out why it takes till at least October 2016 to initiate any kind of a process or project where the mother and baby homes and laundries and clerical abuse are going to be looked into. So we've been unable to find out why that took so long. But this, again, is indicative of government strategy, and it's intergovernmental because that stretches from the north to the south. And we know that the government and the civil servants in the north have made countless approaches to a variety of organisations in the south, including the Commission of Investigation into Mother and Baby Homes in the south of Ireland, to get their views and some suggestions and proposals how they conduct the process up here. So, you know, as far as victims and survivors are concerned, Frank, this is constant, prolonged, systematic government delay, prolonging the agony and suffering of all the victims and survivors, the vast majority of whom, you know, are in deteriorating health, they're getting, you know, to nearly the end of their lives, et cetera, and some of them are never going to see any kind of redress or any kind of justice by the criminal or whatever, you know, before their lifetime.
Has this added to your disappointment? You mentioned the historical institutional abuse inquiry where it wasn't dealt with. Was that in itself a disappointment, and this an additional disappointment that you hear nothing's been done for a year?
It's more than a disappointment, you know what I mean? It creates such despondency and despair and anger and frustration, you know what I mean? And as far as victims and survivors are concerned, whether it's the HIA or the mother and baby homes, victims and survivors, laundries, clerical abuse, you know, they're being put out to pasture at the end of the day. You know what I mean? This is all about delaying tactics constantly. And, you know, the HIA people, victims and survivors, are exactly the same. Of course, there was recommendations made which were absolutely incredibly insulting to the vast majority of many victims and survivors in terms of its recommendations. That can't be acted upon because, obviously, with no devolved government. Karen Bradley, the Secretary of State, won't act on it because she says it's a devolved issue. So she's washed her hands of it and abdicated all ministerial responsibilities for this.
But do you think any politician has consciously made a decision to put it out to grass, to let it fester until you all go away? Is it not something that's just been caught up? Are you not collateral damage in the disputes at Stormont that have absolutely nothing to do with the mother and baby homes?
Well, we are collateral damage whether there's a government or not, you know, because, as I say, scoping exercises were carried out as far back as 2013. Now, why did it take the process nearly 3 years for ministers to decide, okay, we're going to carry out a limited scoping research exercise, which was given an initial term of 12 months? We now know that, given the FOI information, that that's going to be dragged on till at least August 18. And any professional, expert, academic would tell you that the research was never going to be done in that period of time, especially given the limited budget that it was given. And we now found out from the Freedom of Information request that, of course, as far back there as September 18, the researchers themselves were actually a bit frustrated at the fact that the budget and the time wasn't going to lead them to carry out a robust and comprehensive piece of research in that time, which is already particularly limited, in regards of what its terms of reference are. Like international trafficking, for example, is not going to be looked at, which is a highly significant aspect of this, given the movement of women and babies from the north to the south and further abroad. So, you know, the whole process in itself, like the instigation of the Interdepartmental Working Group in January 17, Frank, they made no attempt to consult or engage with victims and survivors. And this is a major problem, because none of these, whether it's the North or the South, are done with a human rights focus. There's no human rights-centred approach. It's not human rights-based. Victims and survivors are constantly left out of drawing up the terms of reference. And, you know, we have a model that says, nothing about us without us, but everything is done without us, and that's a major problem.
You know, just
Nora Gibbons.
Yes, but just to get to Nora Gibbons, who's the chair who you're referring to, who stood down for ill health reasons back in March. In a moment, and the replacing of her as the chair, which is critically important if you're going to move on with this. But for people who are listening and who aren't fully aware of why I'm talking to you, Eunan, just remind me what age you are, if you don't mind, you know, because your age is very relevant to it, because a lot of people think this happened centuries ago. This happened to you. So just briefly tell us your story, Eunan, and what age you are, please.
Well, I'm 50 years old. Found out I was adopted at 47 years old. And, you know, whatever the reasons for that, you know what I mean? Or, you know, I'm a typical example of these sorts of things, you know what I mean, where many, many adoptees don't even know they're adopted, for all sorts of reasons, many of them allegedly illegal, and we can actually prove some of those. But the point is, Frank, that what you're referring to here is that everybody wants to consign all of these issues to the historical dustbin. The HIA issues are exactly the same.
Yeah, yes, but you know, hold on. Let me stop you there for a second, because remember, you're talking to me like as if everyone who's listening knows exactly what you're talking about. Just remind me of your background and the Marion Vale institution in Newry, and how you came through that and what happened to your mum.
Well, Marion Vale in Newry was part of the Good Shepherd Sisters ran mother and baby home. Magdalen Laundry was ran on the same site. From 1945 up until 1984. It was one of many mother and baby homes ran in the north of Ireland. A fact largely excluded by the vast majority of people. These mother and baby homes, hostels for girls, for example, have been in existence here from over 180 years, right up until 1994 in the north, 1996 in the south. These were largely for unmarried girls, many of whom got pregnant out of wedlock, and there were many forcibly incarcerated in these institutions for anything from months to years, in fact, for life. So I was adopted out of this particular mother and baby home in Newry. My mother only seen me for a few minutes. I was taken away, and she never laid eyes on me again until I made contact with her 3 years ago. And again, that is a very, very typical story.
It's a heartbreaking story, and it's important to remind us of it, and I hope it wasn't difficult for you to tell us again, Eunan, but for people to get a full understanding of why you're bordering on being angry, because I'm sure you're angry and you're controlling it very well, when you thought the progress would have been made, but the chair, an independent chair standing down, holds this up simply because we haven't got an executive. That must be incredibly frustrating. What do you want to see now with the replacing, with regards to replacing the independent chair who stood down for personal reasons?
Well, as I said, the chair was in place for 18 months and made no attempt to engage with victims and survivors. When we had a meeting set up with this chair, she resigned 48 hours before that meeting took place. And again, indicative of government strategy, they didn't see fit to appoint a vice chair where that meeting could have taken place. Now, since then, obviously, she's resigned. There's been no attempt, really, up until the last few weeks to replace that chair. Now, in the interim period, what it means is that, of course, the mother and baby home issues, laundries and clerical abuses, the clerical abuses have been completely set aside and taken off the agenda without any public knowledge of this here. So all of those victims and survivors thought that there was a parallel process going on simultaneously to look into the mother and baby homes and the clerical abuses. At some point, the TEO, the Executive Office, the Department of Health decided, well, we're not going to look into them. And of course, it was very revealing in the Freedom of Information request that they had intended to get the Safeguarding Board of Northern Ireland to look into the clerical abuses, virtually as a separate issue. An organisation set up by the Executive Office in 2012, when they carried out a review of that organisation in 2016, they said that it was unfit for purpose for looking into so-called historical clerical abuse cases because it wasn't fit for purpose to look after the child protection issues of children of today. Now, that in itself is highly horrific, you know what I mean, and in stark contrast to what victims and survivors need here. So, as I said, this chair hasn't been appointed yet. It means that the clerical abuse issues have been put off on the long finger again. And, of course, the research itself has been suffered countless problems since it was instigated. It has been elongated now, as I say, until at least August of this year, and I don't think that's a practical achievable deadline. I think that'll go into next year as well. You know, it just shows government strategy that there was no legal compulsion measures put in place before this research started, given the historical attitude of the Catholic Church, and especially in dealing with these issues, and the fact that it's highly unlikely that they were going to disclose all the records, files and documents pertaining to all these women and children. The Family Care Society in Belfast is exactly the same. The researchers have had severe problems in trying to get them to hand over all of their at least 15,000 records belonging to the women and children of various mother and baby homes, including, in fact, Donegal over the border, which the Catholic Church thought it was okay to traffic women and children to because it was part of the Derry Diocese, even though it was a completely separate jurisdiction, another state. It was a border. So, as I say, the researchers, there's only two of them part-time, there's only two of them full-time. They were never going to be able to do this in 12 months. Obviously, the problems with the chair resigning, the remaining historical abuse team of the Executive Office haven't seen fit to put that chair in place as quickly as possible to deal with all these issues. What it means, Frank, is that basically victims and survivors are being, again, re-victimised and re-traumatised because every time they think something's going to happen, it's delayed, it's prolonged, you know what I mean? And the victims and survivors of TUM, the Commission of Investigation in the Mother and Baby Homes in the South of Ireland, are exactly the same. Delayed interim reports year after year after year. There doesn't seem to be any reason for it. There's no foresight. Even though they know that there's going to be a delay, the victims and survivors are the last people to be told. The victims and survivors, you know, are kept to the very end when they think that the finishing line is in sight. Next thing, the legs is taken away from them again.
The frustration, Ewan, the frustration is very clear in what you are saying to us at the moment. And as I say, on that Freedom of Information request, we're discovering indeed that little or no progress is being made. The frustration, it is understandable listening to what you are saying at this moment. I appreciate you being eloquent and describing it to us, Ewan. No doubt we'll keep an eye on any progress that might be made. But appreciate your time. Thanks, Ewan. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. Thank you. Bye-bye.
That's Ewan Duffy there, campaigning. He must be blue in the face campaigning for so long now to try and get the answers that I'm sure everyone listening must agree that people who've been through that deserve. But no, heels are being dragged somewhere for some reason. But why? It's hard to nail that one. 0289033105 077 66 105 105. A Department of Health statement. A departmental spokesperson said work on the historic mother and baby homes commenced in February 2016 at the request of the former executive, which agreed that it would be taken forward by an interdepartmental working group with an independent chair. The original chair of the working group resigned for personal reasons, as you've heard, in March 2018. A process to fill the vacancy is underway. While technically not a public appointment, recruitment to the role is being progressed in line with the code of practice of the Commissioner for Public Appointments for Northern Ireland. It is intended that the final appointment will be subject to ministerial approval. I'm adding this bit in. They could be waiting a while, okay? And let's get back to the statement. The work has continued in the chair's absence, including research into mother and baby homes and Magdalen laundries by Queen's University and Ulster University. And of course, our guest, Eunan, acknowledges that, but he's also described how restricted the research actually is. Frustration, I think, it's oozing from the campaigners. Is it understandable? Your opinions are very welcome. 0289033105. If you're just joining us, this is the U105 phone-in. Good morning.
Ian Cruise Lines, their one big sale is now on. Go all-inclusive with only £75 per person deposit on selected 2019-2020 sailings from the UK.